Yesterday, we heard about the housing collapse in 2008 and how it created thousands of vacant so-called zombie homes in Cleveland, Ohio. Today, we take a wider view of the housing market. As a new book points out, the 2008 crisis significantly changed the nature of home ownership. It also helped to widen the income inequality gap as a few well-placed bankers were positioned to make a lot of money off of struggling homeowners. The book is aptly called Homewreckers. Its author is Aaron Glantz, who is a senior investigative reporter at Reveal for the Center for Investigative Reporting. And he joins me now from the Reveal studios in Emeryville, California. Aaron, welcome.
It's good to be with you.
Well, in the interest of full disclosure, I should say that I actually appear in the acknowledgments of the book because you and I were at the Knight Fellowship Program at Stanford University back in 2016. And real estate and home mortgage lending were actually topics you were interested in even back then.
Yeah, I was interested in knowing why the American people felt so uneasy, right? 2016, when you and I were at Stanford, we were watching the rise of Donald Trump. We were watching the surprising popularity of Bernie Sanders. And so here you had people on both the left and the right who felt that fundamentally the system was not working for them. And so I thought housing would be a good place to look because 8 million people lost their homes in the Great Recession, and they didn't necessarily, you know, have the opportunity to get them back.
Let's talk a little bit about that. You call your book Homewreckers because after that financial crisis, there was a shift from individual home ownership to corporations owning large numbers of homes through these mortgage products. As you said, it was a devastating time for homeowners, but these corporations actually benefited from the collapse.
Well, I'm looking at the cover of my book right now, and you see Steve Mnuchin, who's now the Treasury Secretary, Wilbur Ross, who's now the Commerce Secretary. Both of these people were bankruptcy expert, Wall Street guy, who did not overextend themselves before the housing bust. And so when banks started to go under, when people started to feel rickety, that's when they pounced. Steve Mnuchin put a group together that included George Soros, Michael Dell, the founder of Dell Computer. And when this big Southern California bank called IndyMac failed and the government took it over, they struck a deal with the government where the government basically gave them the bank for $0 and then agreed to subsidize them for any of their losses. So when Steve Mnuchin began foreclosing on families after he acquired this bank, the government, under the terms of this agreement, actually gave him money most of the time when he foreclosed.
How did his actions push people into further turmoil? You actually profile one family in particular.
Under the terms of the deal where he acquired the bank, he's supposed to be helping homeowners hold on to those houses and renegotiate the terms of their loans. But instead, there was this foreclosure machine that he ramped up. So I write extensively about this one woman, Sandy Jolly. Her home of more than 30 years, her family home, before the housing bust, her parents had taken on this reverse mortgage that sapped their equity. This is with the previous owner of the bank. So when Mnuchin took the bank over, he could have made a deal with this family to help them stave off foreclosure and keep their house. But instead, he battled them for years until finally he did foreclose and the house was sold on the auction block. And so that's one type of home wrecker.
But there are four guys on the cover of your book, President Trump, and then three men who you say were also major contributors to his campaign, including Steve Mnuchin and Wilbur Ross. How is he, as you would call him, a homewrecker?
Wilbur Ross did basically the same thing in Florida. He acquired a bank called Bank United off the government during the bust and also got huge subsidies. And now he's the Commerce Secretary. Then down on the lower part of the book, I have Steve Schwartzman, who's the founder of the Blackstone Corporation. He and another Trump associate, Tom Barrack, what they did was after these homes were foreclosed, they went in all around the country and they started buying them up.
But then what happened to these homes?
They became rentals. And these landlords would sign leases where every time they expired, the rent would go up. They would have maintenance agreements where the tenants would have to take on responsibility for trimming the trees or preparing the plumbing, but at the same time, they wouldn't get any of the equity and wealth that usually comes from taking on those responsibilities?
You take great pains to point out, as much as white homeowners suffered in the housing collapse, Black and Latino homeowners were, as a rule, hit much harder. Can you explain more on why?
Well, the African-American homeownership rate in this country today is lower than it was when segregation was legal during the Jim Crow era, when discrimination was legal. And that is because people of color were targeted for the most predatory mortgage products during the housing bubble. And so when the housing bust happened, they were more likely to get foreclosed on. And then when the economy started to get better and banks started to lend again, it was hard for anyone to get a loan. You know, credit was tight. But it was especially hard for people of color. We started to see this old redlining that was common, you know, decades ago, where, you know, it didn't matter how much money you made or the neighborhood that you wanted to buy in or the amount of debt you were trying to take on in a loan, that people of color were more likely to be turned down for their mortgages. And some of the banks, like, for example, Steve Mnuchin's bank, almost never lent to Black and brown people, even though, you know, Mnuchin's bank was located in Los Angeles, which is, you know, one of the largest, most diverse cities in the country.
In the book, you're quite critical of the Obama administration's response to the plight of homeowners. Explain how that administration's role furthered this anguish that we're talking about.
Well, there were a lot of really good ideas that were floated at a very high level that would have avoided a lot of the things that we talked about. So, for example, during the Great Depression, there was a government-run bank called the Homeowners Loan Corporation. It renegotiated one out of every five home loans in America. It saved a million people's homes. And when it did have to foreclose, it took pains to sell them off to other deserving families one at a time once the Depression had ended. And after World War II, as we know, the government had the GI Bill, and the GI Bill helped millions of World War II veterans buy homes. Both the Homeowners Loan Corporation and the GI Bill did not cost the taxpayers. The Homeowners Loan Corporation made money. The GI Bill basically broke even. And this was debated in the Obama administration. People were suggesting, let's do this again. And those people were just laughed out.
Yeah, Congress passed this massive bailout.
Yeah, Congress passed this huge bailout. They said, oh, we can't afford to help regular Americans. Instead, they gave all the money to the banks.
We should point out, as you do in the book, that many of the people you profile are now in positions of power within either the Trump administration or in his campaign. How have they affected current policy?
They are putting their foot on the gas pedal to rig the economy further in ways that could really harm our ability to have wealth. The average homeowner in America is worth about $200,000. The average renter is worth about $2,000, because most of us spend most of our money on things that just kind of disappear, like gas. We burn it up. Clothes, they wear out. Only our housing expenditure has the chance to accumulate wealth for ourselves and our children and maybe even our grandchildren. And what they've been doing is taking many, many steps to make it harder for families to buy homes. So, for example, on the very first day that Trump was in office, he made it more expensive to take out a FHA mortgage, which is a mortgage that the government insures to help working class people buy homes. Steve Mnuchin over at the Treasury Department is changing the rules on this law called the Community Reinvestment Act, which forces banks to lend to low and moderate income people and have branches in working class neighborhoods. The Trump administration is gutting enforcement of the Fair Housing Act, which bans housing discrimination against people of color. So these men, the home wreckers, they are very, very serious about making money. And the way they make money is by profiting off of our pain. And they have been changing a lot of rules behind the scenes without us really noticing.
And yet you end your book on a somewhat optimistic note. Are you hopeful for the future of home ownership in America?
I am optimistic. I'm optimistic because in researching the book, I saw that we've done things in the past that have worked. There's no reason why we as a country can't invest in solutions that are going to make our country more just and fair. And I think that sometimes we just throw up our hands and we think that it has to be this way and that there's no opportunity for change. But you don't spend years writing a book if you think the situation is hopeless. You spend time writing a book because you want to put ideas out there into the world to make the world a better place.
I'm just curious. I remember when you were chasing after Tom Barrack, but Wilbur Ross, Steve Mnuchin, I know you've reached out to all of them. Have you received any responses from them?
No, I haven't been able to get an interview with any of them. I did get interviews with a number of people associated with them, mostly off the record or on background. I sent Steve Mnuchin certified letters to four of his houses saying that I'm still available if he wants to talk to me, that there's a book that calls him a home wrecker. And if he'd like to talk about it, I'd be more than happy to include his perspective.
Aaron Glantz's book is Home Wreckers: How a Gang of Wall Street Kingpins, Hedge Fund Magnates, Crooked Banks, and Vulture Capitalists Suckered Millions Out of Their Homes and Demolished the American Dream. Aaron Glantz, thank you.
Thank you.